Thing we discussed before Rosh Hashanah was the topic of milking the cow. So we discussed the five opinions in the Rishonim that the Gemara says that it's Asur. I said it came at Allah. Tosis. We started from Tosis on Ayin Gimel and Beis where the word Mefarik appears. So Tosis points out that the word Mefarik appears again a second time. And Sarkeim and Aleph, when the Gemara asks, what's the malach involved in milking a cow? So the Gemara says, Chodol Chai Mishum Mefarik. So we want to know, what is Mefarik? Mefarik is not listed among the Lametes Olis Malachis. So Rashi has two pshat. Rashi prefers the pshat that he says by us that Mefarik means told of Disha. And he rejects the other pshat, is the Amri, that it's a told of Kotzer. And the Miri had an opinion that it's a told of gozes. What does kotze gozes, what does it have to do with anything? Gozes means you're removing something from a balchai. Not that you're cutting off a limb. You're cutting off something that's made to be removed. Like you're cutting off the hair that keeps on growing, cutting off the fingernails that keep on growing. You remove a wart that doesn't belong. So here also, you're milking a cow, you're removing something from a balchai that's supposed to be removed, that's made to be removed. So that's apparently the opinion that the Miri quotes, that it's a told of gozes. Rashi quotes a told of kotzer along the same lines, that kotzer also means that it's not really gozes would have been if it's taka hair, a wool, or a wart, something that grew on the body, a part of the body that's supposed to be removed. But this is not really part of the body. This is separate. It's developed in the body, but it's really not attached. It's held inside. So that's why those Rishonim hold along the same lines as Gozes, but they hold some Madrega lower. Okay, so they say that it's Kotze. Then we had a third shot. A wild shot. The Rabbi Natam and Dafa and Gimel and Bey says that it's told. It's Memachek. The Farik is a told them a machik that you machlik the dad, you make the dad smooth. Then there was another pshat that it's a form of tochen. Very strange. All the pshatim are difficult. Why are they all difficult? The only pshat that really works in the Gemara, Tosis on Ayin Gimel on Beis, quotes a Gemara and Daf Kuf Mem Dalet on Beis, the beginning of Chavis. The Gemara makes a distinction. Whether you're milking the cow into an empty bucket on the bottom, or into a bucket that has some challah into it, into a bucket that has some michel into it. So mashkim, when you milk a cow, milk is taka one of the zayin mashkim, and when you detach a mashka from an ochel, that's disha. But we have a klal that mashka habola toicha ochel is koichel domi. We explained it when we learned before Rosh Hashanah with the Tosis on Kuf Mem Dal and Manal, gigantic Tosis. Tosis shows from the Gemara there is a Mishnah in Krisis that the Gemara is working on here. Mishnah in Krisis talks about a nursing mother. Take the second line from the bottom of Kuf Mem Dal on the days. And the Gemara is commenting on a Mishnah in Krisis. The Mishnah in Krisis is talking about a woman who's nursing her baby. So the Mishnah says that there is a din midrabbanon that if a Jewish person eats oichlum that a tamei, a mashkim that a tamei, so that person becomes tamei. On the level of their eyes, it can't exist. Because oichlum and mashkim have no tara b'mikveh, so they can never be an avatumim. That's a klal. The Gemara has the list off in there. Called Abishem a tara b'mikveh, ain't anasa avatumim. So oichlum and mashkim have no tara b'mikveh. And even water, Rashi always says, and even water, which if it becomes tamei, you can do hashoka. So Rashi says, that's not called tarav mikveh. That's a new din of zriyah. It's considered like if you would have potatoes, that would be tamei. And you plant them in the ground, once they take root, so the tumah disappears, because mechubel karka can't be tamei. Not only is not mekabel tumah, even if it was mekabel tumah of the toldish, and then you plant it, so when with the minute that you do zriyah, so the tumah disappears, if you have water that became tamei, and you make hashoka, you connect that water to a kosher mikveh, so the water becomes tar. And Rashi keeps, every time the Gemara mentions Hashoka, Rashi said you shouldn't get confused. It has nothing to do with Tarav Mikveh. It's a different din. So that's the halacha that Oichlum and Mashkim can never become an Av HaTumah because they don't have Tarav Mikveh. The Gemara shows from a pasuk that these two are interconnected. Called Abba Shem Tarav Mikveh and Nasa Av HaTumah. Then the Gemara says on the first daf in Baba Kama that Adam Mekalim, the only four things that are Mekabel Tumah, Adam Mekalim, Ochel Mamashim. Adam Mekalim can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Av or from an Avi Avois, higher than an Av. Can't be Mekabel Tumah from a Tolder, from a Rishon Tumah, Mashenah Tumah, and so on. So how can an Adam be Mekabel Tumah if he eats Ochel Tumah or he drinks Mashkin Tumah? So on the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. It's a din midrabban, Tumas Agriya, Tumas Aguf, Tumas Agriya. Is a din midrabban. The Gemara in Shabbos, in the first prayer, gives a whole explanation. What prompted the Tanoim to make this Gzeira Drabban? The Gemara thought at one point that this was a din deraisa, and then the Gemara backs out, it couldn't be a din deraisa, it's impossible. The Gemara says it was made in two stages. In the first parak in Shabbos, when they have the Yud Ches Dov, the 18 Gzeiras midrabban, that they were Gzeiras on one day, but the Beis Shammayad voted the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says that the Gzeira of Tumas Agviya was made in two stages. There was an old Gzeira Keduma that existed in earlier generations, and in the days of the Shammai and Beis Hillel, they enhanced this Gzeira the Rabban. So the Mishnah in Krisis is discussing this case. A woman is nursing her baby, and the milk that's coming, the woman is tummy. So the milk that comes out is touching the mother's body on the outside, so the milk is tummy, and therefore the baby is going to become tummy with the Rabban, and if the baby drinks enough milk. So the Gemara effect Akasha, how did the milk be huchshu lekabel tumah? So the Gemara gives, that's the question that they're working on here, two lines from the bottom. That's the answer to that question. That's on the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalal and Beis, second line from the bottom. The Gemara was working on the question, how did the milk become huchshu lekabel tumah? So Tosfos says the Akasha and the Gemara, what are they talking about? The Tosfos on Kuf Mem Dalal and Aleph. The big tesis, the beginning of the gigantic tesis. What do you mean? Milk is a mashke. Mashke doesn't need hechsher v'kabel tumah. Only ochlam need. The tesis says no. The milk that the baby avagav the cholavisha mashku. Normally mashke doesn't need hechsher. The tesis says no. This is kol machol shamati. That's all the baby eats. A beverage is called a mashke. A liquid oichel. The difference between oichel and mashke is not between liquid and solid, but rather between a beverage and a food. Whatever is a food, even if it's liquidy. Soup, that's what we mentioned, the Chayodam, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that the shir for Bracha Achrayin on soup is kezayis. Because it's an oichel, it's not a mashke. It's based on the Gemara in Maseches Yomah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein explains in his Chubas that this is what it says in the Gemara. The difference between oichel and mashkin is not solid versus liquid, but rather beverage versus food. So that's what the Gemara says on Kuf Mem Dalan Amid Beis, when you're milking a cow, you're squeezing out fruits or something. Why? Because when you squeeze out Eshkol Shalanovim and the grape juice comes out, so under normal circumstances, the grape juice has a dina mashke. But if you're squeezing it out, that it should become absorbed into Michael in the container on the bottom, you have Michael. On the same thing, when you milk the cows and the milk that comes out normally is considered a mashke. Chol abeim is a mashke. But if it's on its way flying into an oichel, it's going to become part of an oichel. So it doesn't, just because it's in a liquid state, it doesn't get a din mashke. Mashke abolat oichel is koichel domi. So why is that not disha? The answer is because that's uchla difference. You're separating oichel from oichel. So let's say take a challah and you cut it in the middle. So that's not called disha. Are you separating this half of the challah from that half of the challah? That's not disha. Disha is if you separate oichel from a mashke, you separate oichel from soilus, you detach two things that are different. But if the two things are the same, then it's oichel with oichel, then there's no violation of disha.
But it would seem that the case of a challah is different from this case, because we're treating the dad is basar, the halab is obviously halab. Since there's a din that you can't mix the two, then wouldn't we be treating the basar as if it's kibun not ochel, because you can't do that?
It's a good kasha. I don't know. It's a good kasha. How can you say that it's the same? Why don't you say that separating basar from chalav should also be an issue? Even let's say basar and gvina. So let's say they're both solid. That should be that it's even other bochok. Or why do you say that that's all minecha, but one is basar and one is chalav? I don't know. It's a good kasha. But that's what the Gemara is assuming of this. It's a kasha and the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is assuming. That in such a case, it's Zuchel of Dirfas. So this Gemara, that's what Tosfos calls this Gemara, contradicts all the other interpretations. How can the Gemara How can the Rishonim maintain a shita that it's gozes, or that it's kotzer, or that it's machlekes adad what is he saying? The mache, or you say that it's tochen. The other pshatim other than Rashi, nothing fits into the Gemara. How does the Gemara say? Omar Shmuel, Seicher Tod Meshkol Shal Adam Tech Hakder Lo Tech Hakayra, Dibra Ben Anilmar Cholavon Meizu Tech Hakder Lo Tech Hakayra. If you have these additional prohibitions, how does it help if it's going Mashka Bola Tech Hakachodom? It just removes the problem of Disha, doesn't remove the problem of Tochin, it doesn't remove the problem of Kotzer, or the problem of Gozes, or the problem of Memachin. So it's a pella. How can it? So that's why we always assume like Rashi. See, other Rishonim are very difficult. They're going to have to deal with this Gemara. That's Tosfos Kashi. They're going to have to give a pshat on this Gemara. So someone mentioned there's a sixth malacha of Borir. So that's the Tosfos. That's the question. How do we that Tosfos on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis? And that Gemara Chol Avodah Meis. So Tosfos quotes near the Rabbi in a time the Hand Davke Biyontif. This Gemara is in Masech HaShabbos, so it sounds like you're talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Yontif should really be Masech HaBeitzah, and Dini Chol HaMoed should be Masech HaMoed Kotzer. So it's in Masech HaShabbos, sounds like it's talking about Shabbos. So the Rabbi Natam says that this line of Gemara only goes on Yontif, doesn't go on Shabbos. Why? Because on Yontif, theoretically, you're permitted to Shech the Behem, Achazi Behem, Al-Achila. Therefore, I call it Uchla Difras. Abi Kemo, Uchla Difras. Once you declare mashka bola teichel koichel dami, so the milk that's coming out is not a mashka, it's an eichel, and the behemah is an eichel. So uchla difras like slicing a challah. Uchla difras is not a malacha of disha. Avol b'shabbos lachazi l'shchita. So therefore, it's a problem. Kamo dosh kashiv, then it will be a told of dosh. Shabbeim hikip solus. There are two kinds of disha. One is when you detach echel from solus. One is when you detach echel from a mashke. So when you're milking a cow on yontif, the behemah is an ochel, and the mashke, and the milk that comes out is a mashke. So if you're milking it into a bucket that has some echel on the bottom, mashke, it makes a ruch of difference. But on Shabbos, it's not chazi l'shchita. There's no heter echel nefesh. So then Tosfos first writes Habikemo Dosh. It's a violation of Disha because he's detaching Eichel from Psoilas. And then they continue to say, Ukeshachoyle v'habikenoit aleichel mitech ha-psoilas. And the Marsha says he thinks that that gives you the connotation of Borer. So the Marsha thinks that more correct Pshat and Tosfos is that they're saying that it's Borer. So that's the sixth shita. Someone pointed out that I only mentioned the five shitas. There's a sixth shita. That's how this one, the Shvisa Shabbos lists off there. Six shitas, what's the malacha involved in milking a cow? So the sixth shita is Edisburg. That's according to the Marsha's understanding of this Tosfos. Truth of the matter, Tosfos never really said that it's Borer. Tosfos just wrote in Oichel and Psoilos. Oichel and Psoilos, usually the first thing that comes to mind is Borer. But the second thing that comes to mind should be Disha. If you're detaching the oichel from the psoilas, that's bishul.
But if you're going to say that, then you would say that you would be able to be followed the hema on Shabbat as long as you're going to eat it right away. Because if it's bara, then you should be able to do it right away. No.
Okay. Could be that it is not that you're going to eat it. Maybe we'll be mutter. No, the other Rishonim want to say it's mutter even on Shabbos to milk the cow. So the Rabbein Tam comes up with Chiddush, you're not allowed to. So you want to say, not allowed to, but if you plan to eat it right away, it'll be mutter. Good, then you hear us. So maybe it is mutter to eat it right away. No, you have to eat milk, so he's going to eat it from the bucket.
That's how you eat.
In normal people don't milk the cow and then drink it right away. Okay, could be adjusted. Okay, so it's a different, you will negotiate about that, but that's not that can't be akasha. Maybe it's mutter, maybe it's asa. There's what to negotiate about, but So this is the shaila. How do you read Tosfos? So the Mashal says, despite the fact that Tosfos says kemod dosh, he thinks when the next line of Tosfos says habi kenot alecha metecha psolas, he thinks that that leads us one, that leads one to understand that Tosfos said that it's borei. In addition to being disha, it's also borei. And yant, if it's not borei, because you can shech the behemoth, so it's you're detaching oichel from oichel. But on Shabbos, that you can't shech the behemoth, then in addition, it's going to be borei. And others learn, no, not like the Marshor, that it's not a violation of borei. Why? You can say that it was never bitarubis. It could be that the milk is never considered bitarubis with the behemoth. I know where the milk, and the milk is inside. I can't get to the milk without squeezing it out. Maybe that's not called the tarubis. The only violation of borer, if the oichel and the psoilus, if the two minim are bitarubis, yachat. So maybe the other rishonim hold that this is not called bitarubis as well. So borer is not in the running bichlal. It's a little bit like a shaila about using tea bags on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So some came up with the Einfall that it's a violation of borer, that you're separating the tea leaves. You don't want to drink the tea with the tea leaves in them. So you say, once you put the tea bag in, so the water goes into the tea bag and then the water comes out. So when you take out the tea bag, so you borer psoilus mitochoichom. You're taking out the psoilus and all of the tea comes out. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosi quotes up Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that he doesn't think that that's called the tarubis. He thinks that the whole thing was omitted to be separated from the very beginning. That's the way they manufacture tea bags. So the tea leaves are always separate from the rest of it, even though the water goes through and through the holes in the tea bag, and then it goes in, and then at that time seems to be mixed together with the tea leaves, then it comes out. He said he doesn't think that that's considered the tarus. So my guess would be that those who hold over here that there's no issue of borer, they hold in Tosfos that it's only an issue of disha, not like the marshal. So they hold that the milk was never considered bitarubis with the udder of the animal. How can it be considered bitarubis? So that's the problem. From this Gemara, it would appear that the only problem, the only malach involved is disha. That the other malachas are not. Very difficult on the other Rishayna. Very difficult. How are they going to deal with this Gemara? It's a shvera problem. Someone pointed out, why should it be the Yireim's opinion is that it's a form of tochen. Why exactly is it tochen? The milk has the same consistency, lechor, when it's inside the udder and outside the udder. Why is it tochen? If you take water in a pitcher and you start pouring the water, so that's tochen. If you pour it in drops, so that's tochen. How is that tochen? Everything is the same as it was before. I don't know. It's a problem. How does he define tochen? Tochen is a problem. It's a famous Chazanish sent a letter to one of the rabbis. Chazanish had a chiddush that mashing a banana is a violation of tochen. I would have said that mashing a banana may be making a paste out of it. Originally, it was one solid banana, and then you make a paste out of it. So maybe you can say that it's lisha. So that the Chazanish says no lisha, no violation of lisha. Why not? Lisha is only if you have different things and you have tiny particles, let's say you have flour or tiny particles of something else, and then you have some moisture, some liquid, and you mix in the moisture from the liquid from somewhere else into these tiny particles and you make it into one big paste. So that's a violation of Lisha. But over here, you take the banana and it has its own moisture within it. So since you're not adding anything, so lisha it isn't, but tochen it is. What kind of tochen? The thing is all a mush. How is that tochen? So one of the rabbanim was arguing with him, so they started a correspondence. So the Chazanish says, you can't explain it by sending letters. We'll meet sometime in person and then we'll discuss it. That's a chiddush, that mashing a banana is a problem of tochen. Chazanish claims that, I don't know, he says that he's so convinced that this is the din. The din is in if a person is tameh in a tasha zoichol, that's tahor. So he's mitameh the whole maga b'miksosa kemaga b'kula. Let's say I have a long Italian bread. So you touch one end of the bread, so the whole bread becomes tameh. Not just that you mitameh that particle that you touched and that particle is an atomic, the next particle. If it's one big unit, if it's one banana, so then it's one unit. So if you touch one end on tummy, I touch one end of the banana. So the cloud is magam b'mitzosek and magam b'kul. Or if you touch one end of the challah, so the whole challah is considered one unit, dalpidin. So he has a chidush. He says, what happens if you mesh up a banana? So it's no longer one big unit. So he says, if an adam tummy will touch one end, it's borrowed to him that you won't say magam b'mitzosek and magam b'kul. It's not considered one unit. The loaf of bread is made up of different particles of flour which were separated and reunited, combined together again with water or with one of the Zayin Mashkin. But if the loaf of bread, let's say, is only held together with May Peris, then it's a machloikis atanayim, whether May Peris or machaber. So the Chazon Ish is working on the assumption that the banana juice, the natural juice in the banana, if one should assume that May Peris, anything other than the Zayin Mashkin, is not mechaber, then he says you wouldn't say magam b'mitzosek and magam b'kul. So he thinks that since when you mash up a banana very well, the banana is no longer one big unit, it's tiny little particles, even though they're held together, but since they're only held together with banana juice, so they're still considered separate units. So he thinks that that's called tchina. That's what others, the Pharisees swell, and others discuss. What, let's say you have some cholam, and you enjoy eating mashed potatoes. So you take a potato that's well done, it's all cooked, you take a fork and you start mashing the potato. So Taka Samachrenim discussed the possibility of tchina. I'm mashing a potato. What kind of tchina? I'm mashing a potato. The thing is all same as a banana. It doesn't become separate units. The thing is so soft to begin with and it has so much moisture within it. It has how much schmaltz within it. When you're going to mash it, it's just going to become one big mush. So that's what some hold. Yeah, that that's a violation of tochen. Other Gedolim write that it's not tochen, because in the Mishnah and in Gimel Amud Aleph, Tochen precedes Ofer. So they come up with a new klal that Tchina only applies if the food was not yet cooked or baked. But once it was already cooked or baked, then there's no Tchina. So your cholent potato was cooked already, fully cooked, so therefore there's no Tchina. Chiddush. That since it appears in the Siddur of the past before Ofer, the only time you're in violation is if you do it before. If you do it after, it's not. The Mishnah Berurah has such a chiddush on the level of the Raisa, but on the level of the Rabbanon, he's made it that it's also, he has it on Lisha. There is a Gemara later that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch when you'll be married and you have little babies, so there's an issue of preparing cereal for the babies on Shabbos. And or the Gemara talks about, days of the Gemara, they didn't have ready made cereal for babies, they had for babies. Today we have, we don't live on the farm, so we live in the city. We have pre-cooked, prepared baby cereal. It's already all cooked already, and you have to add on warm water, and then you mix it together. So that's a shayla of lisha, that you're adding on water to the tiny particles. It's like a powder. You add on warm water, and you stir it together. So the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you do a little shinui, instead of stirring it with a spoon like this, the normal way you would stir it, so you should do crisscrosses. Instead of circular mixing, you should do crisscross. You should take out the spoon each time. After you do one way, take out the spoon, but then again do the cross and the criss and the cross, right? You do shayse yer, and you keep on taking it out. So the Mishnah Berurah asks in the Bir Halacha, he doesn't understand. Why were they so makel? All right, you did ay deshinu. So whatever you do on Malacha deraisa, deshinu lowers it down to the level of a Malacha and Rabban. So still, the baby's not going to die if you don't give him this cereal. So why is it? Oh, in the days of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, they're not talking about babies, they're talking about behemoths. Even if the behemoth is going to die, there's no have to pikuach nefesh. The behemoth is going to die, it's not pikuach nefesh. He used to have a medical ethics hotline here in the yeshiva. So he once called with a shayla. So whenever the one who answered the phone knew the answer, so he knew the answer. Whenever he wasn't sure, he had to call up one of the rabbis. So he calls me up on a Friday, Syria shayla. A woman is an animal doctor. What do you call it? Veterinarian. The woman's an animal doctor. And on the weekends, they take turns. Who's going to be in the hospital? They don't need everybody in the hospital, only for emergencies. So this was her weekend. And she just converted that week. She wasn't Jewish, she just converted that week. It's her turn to be in the hospital on Shabbos. So somebody said, you just converted. You're not allowed to be in Chal Shabbos. So she said, what do you mean? Pikuach nefesh? The baby's going to die. She only can do emergencies. So they told the Bikoch Nefesh is only on people, not on animals. How can it be? So she called up. She called up the medical ethics hotline that they had in the yeshiva years ago. And then she said, if she would have known that, she would not have converted. She would have waited. She would have waited a couple of months before she arranged her schedule. She wouldn't have to meet Mechal Shabbos. That was her. So the rabbi who answered the phone said that Koch Nev is only on Jewish people. He didn't say Jewish people. He didn't want to tell her. Told us only on people, not on names. So she asked, could he please call one of the consultants to make sure he needs it. So that was my psak, my big kiddush, that he's right. Koch Nevesh doesn't apply to names. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's kasha. Why would they so make them in the days of the Gemara? That you do the lisha ayidei shinui, make a slight little shinui. Major, even a big shinui. Why were they matir? If you do ayidei shinui, low is it to the level of the Rabbanim, but it should still be awesome. So why would they make it over here? So the Bir Aloha starts to explain why there are many Derabbanans. It's a combination of three Derabbanans. So one Derabbanan is Ayyidei Shina. Then he throws in another Derabbanan. He says, look, this cereal that you're feeding the Behema, or what we feed the babies is already pre-cooked. So since it's already cooked, Mika Radin Deraisa, there is no Lisha, because Lisha is in the Sidur de Pas and it precedes Ofer. So if it's already cooked or it's already baked, then there isn't going to be any Nisa Derais of Lisha. But he says it's still going to be an Nisa Derabbanan. There'll still be an Nisa Derabbanan of Lisha. And then he throws in another Svara, why it's only a third consideration, why it's only the Rabbanan. We'll have to see this. So he says, since it's three reasons why it's only the Rabbanan, and it's Lutzorach, so they were Mekel. Yeah, that's a shot of this. The Mishnah Berurah only said this to remove the Nisa Derais, that there's no Lisha Derais. If the food is cooked already, he didn't say that it's hetagomer, that lisha doesn't apply at all. If the food is cooked already, that's problematic in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. I remember in the first edition, I didn't check in the second edition. The first edition, he changed a lot of things from the first edition to the second, usually the Chumah. So in the first edition, he wrote that it's permissible to take mayonnaise and make a tuna fish salad. Even though the tuna fish particles are solids and the mayonnaise holds everything together like a thick paste, he says because the mayonnaise is cooked already and the tuna fish is cooked already, and the Mishnah Berurah says that there's no lisha on a davar hamavushal, period. So the truth of the matter, that's not what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says there's no lisha derais, it's only the Rabbanon, and he says you do it ayidei shinui by the pre-cooked food, it's a shinui, and then he says it's a small amount, so it's vayter only the Rabbanon. He gives three reasons why it's only the Rabbanon. And it's tzorach for the behemoth, that's what you normally feed them. So since it's a triple the rabbanon, so the makom tzorach behemoth, they were mekel. But the Mishnah Berurah didn't say that it's het gomer. So that's why that's a problem on the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chos. Got to see in the new edition whether he still has the same. But that's why it's also a problem on this, that I think if I'm not mistaken, that the Feres Yisrael on the Mishnayos says you're not allowed to mish the potatoes and the cholent, because he considers it also tochen. Same as the Chazanish. People thought the Chazanish was the first one who came up with this idea that mashing a banana is tochen. Even though you make a mush out of it, he holds that as tochen. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnah is right, that mashing potatoes from the cholent is also because it's tochen. And I think some of the later, maybe the Chazanish, one of the other poskim says, no, there's no tchina because it's already mavusha. Tchina is only for lidza, and they hold that it's hetagoma. So that's a problem. But on Lisha, we don't say that it's hetagomer if it's already mavusha. At least we say that lowers it down to the level of the rabbanon, the still in it, the rabbanon. So why should there be some who say that on tochen there's no tchina at all on a dovah hamavushal kvar? Dovah hamavushal already should take off. You can argue it should take off the yisad tochen min atoira. So let it be tochen with the rabbanon.
Maybe you might even be able to extend it. Could you extend glass? Because
glass. To what?
Glass.
To do what with glass?
Smash up glass.
Yeah.
Make a powder out of glass. I don't know what you would do with it on gelato. In principle, because technically glass is still a liquid. Right? So you're smashing it up, it's been cooked, right? Because you took the sand, you heated it up, and you made the glass.
I mean, if the third person takes a glass and he smashes it, that should be an issue of tochen.
If you really like smashes it, really smash, you know,
small
piece.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Possible that the Rishonim ask a kasha. Hashem raise an issue, they don't ask Kasha, they raise an issue, is it forbidden to pull off bits from a challah? Let's say someone rips a challah to tiny particles. Should that be a violation of Torah? So the Rishonim developed, the Tosis later develops a klal, ain't Torah achat Torah. That the only time there's a violation of Tochen is if the thing is in its natural state and it's a unit. But since the challah originally started off as flour with tiny particles, and then you mix water with the flour and you baked it together, so that's really an artificial unit. It's not a natural unit. So then you rip the challah to tiny particles, so you're restoring it back to its original state. So they say that's the klal. Ein teuchen achat teuchen. Teuchen is only violated if the thing is a natural unit. But if it's an artificial unit, then there's no tchinah. So I don't know about glass. How the glass starts off originally as sand.
Sand
is separate particle.
Right.
So it could be that it's also artificially, because you melt it, you heat it.
You melt it now, and technically I would say it would be more like milk than water. Than because of the fact that it's still a liquid, technically.
What do you mean it's still a liquid?
Glass is a liquid.
What sense is it a liquid?
Because it takes hundreds of years.
I don't know. You're going to have to learn some more. You're going to have to learn a lot to find it. I don't know. Yeah. Right, that's a Gemara on Ayin Dalet on the base. On the third line on Ayin Dalet, second line Ayin Dalet on the base quotes the Mishnah HaTochen, that there is a Malach of Tochen. So the third line says, Omer HaPapa Haiman, the Purim Silka, Silka is a beet. So if you slice a beet to thin slices, Chai Mishim Tochen. Gemara has other things also, Chai Mishim Tochen. So Tosis writes, the top Tosis writes, it's only forbidden to slice beets and other foods you're allowed to slice. So what exactly is Tosfos driving? What do they mean? So that they leave your hand? You don't know what they mean. So some say, based on the Trumas Adeshin, that Tosfos means to distinguish between silka, which is a gidule karka, as opposed to eggs or liver or chicken or meat, which is non-gidule karka, that tchina only applies in gidule karka. Why should tchina only apply in gidule karka? Because the first 11 malochas are sidur in the past. And the Gemara says that disho, that we had already, Tosfos quoted, disho is a machlokes atanoim anayin hei omed aleph. Is there an issa disho shalot be gidule karka? So that was a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Tosfos quoted it, and I'm Gimel and Beis by milking the cow. So we passing like the Chachamim, in Disha Ela B'Gidulei Karka. And then you have a Machloikes Abai V'Rove. Looks like a Machloikes Abai V'Rove and I'm Gimel and Beis regarding Ma'amer. Ma'amer is a Malacha. If a person gathers together, let's say the apples fell down from the tree, or a person harvested on the weekdays, he harvested the grain, and then he comes on Shabbos, he has an Erev in his farm, so he's allowed to carry. He comes on Shabbos, and the stuff is ready detached in the beginning of the week, in the middle of the week. So he takes all the different grain, the stalks of grain, and he binds them together, he wraps them together, he makes omarim, he makes bundles. So that's called ma'amer. He gathers together food. Mimokum gedula, we'll get to the details. So we... The Rambam Paskin is like Abai ain't imer ela be gidule karka. The Ma'amer is only violated in gidule karka. Some Achrenim even say that the first opinion, Rabba, whoever the first one is, also agrees that ain't Ma'amer ela be gidule karka. But Rabba holds that this case is called gidule karka. One who is konik milcham in milchasa, one who gathers together. What they used to do was when they wanted salt. We have different ways of getting salt. So now they're trying to figure out how to take the water from the ocean and desalinate the water and have drinking water, so you won't have the whole problem with the Jordan River. You'll be able to just take water from the ocean, but it's very expensive to desalinate water. So they were not interested in getting the water. We're interested in getting water, removing the salt. So they were interested in removing the water and getting the salt. So they used to use the water in the ocean that has salt in it. So they used to dig little ditches in the ground so that a little bit of water would fill up these milchasas, these little ditches, and then the sun would be shining on a hot day. The sun would evaporate an inch of water, an inch deep, an inch or two of water deep. The water would evaporate, the salt would not evaporate, so the salt would remain behind. So that's what Rav is talking about. I mind the kind of one who gathers, and there's an Erev there, and there's a lot to carry. Has it right outside of his house in his backyard. So the one who gathers together the salt from the milchasa, from the place where the heat of the sun beat down on the water and the water evaporated, and now the salt is left alone there. So Rava says the one who gathers it is chay mishumam. Abai disagrees that it's not gidulei karka. So some achrenim say Rava also is masking. That ain't imor ela bigidulei karka, like we paskin like the chachamim. That ain't disha ela bigidulei karka. All the sidur of the past perhaps only apply to gidulei karka. But the Rava holds that this is called gidulei karka. Gidulei karka doesn't necessarily have to be that it grows from the ground like fruits or vegetables or grain. If that's the way the system is, that the heat beats down and the water evaporates, and then you're left with the salt on the ground. So if the salt is on the ground, then it's gidulei karka. If they wouldn't have had it on the ground, if they would have had it in a container, okay, then it wouldn't be gidulei karka. But the minig bizmana gemara was they had it on the ground. So rubber hole, that's called gidulei karka. Okay. That could be Rava disagrees in principle, it could be Rava only disagrees in the detail, whatever it is. But the Rambam assumes that din is like Abaye. So the Chumash Hadeshin put all of this together. He puts together Abaye. Abaye says, Ein im ela bigidulei karka, together with the Chachamim an Ayin Hei Amid Aleph, Ein disha ela bigidulei karka. So he says, two and two is obviously whatever, four. And therefore, since these are all from that's the question, is it 2 and 2 is 22 or 2 and 2 is 4? Did he add up right or not? So he says that's the cloud, that if you're dealing with the Sidur of the past, so it only applies to Gedulei Karka, and therefore Tochen only applies to Gedulei Karka, and that's perhaps what Tosis meant. That's what some of my friends say. That's what Tosis meant, like the Trumas Adesh, that only by beets, the top Tosis are 9 dollars on the base, only by beets, by fruits, by vegetables, by grain, by something that's Gedulei Karka, Shaykh Tchina. That's why some people will chop their liver with their eggs on Shabbos on the assumption that there's no tchino shelo bigidulei karka. The question is, all right, there's no iser deraisa, right? So let there be an iser derabbana. Yeah, when the Rambam quotes Abaye Shita, einim ela bigidulei karka, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, Haiman nekonet milcha mimilcha, so we don't accept the first opinion, chayev. Chayev means that it's deraisa, the paschon like Abaye, that it's also in the Rabbana. But I'll call upon him and toss him in the Rabbana. So why should the Trumas Hadeshim want to come up with a Chiddush over here and say, Ein Tchina, Ela Bigdula Karka's Het Tagomet, there isn't even an Issa de Rabbana? That's questionable. That's one suggestion that they give in Tosis. Another suggestion they give in Tosis is, it's unclear what the Top Tosis said. Top Tosis are $9 on the base. What do they say? Alva Shara Echlim Shara. So some want to say, Shara Echlim, other Echlim that are non-Gidula Karka. That's what they meant. They should have said something. There's something missing in Tosis. Whatever they meant, there's something missing. So others want to say a different shot, that the only time, that's what he suggested. Some Achronim say the only time there's an Iser, some Rishonim say like this, the only time there's an Iser Tochen is if the food, let's say if you grind up wheat, you grind up grain, you make flour out of it, and it's still not very lucky, but people don't eat raw flour. You have to bake it. Or if you grind something else and then you have to cook it, like beets, you don't eat raw beets, you have to cook the beets if they should be edible. But if you're grinding up, let's say, a banana, that's nechel kamo shulcha, you can eat it the way it is. So then, since it's not oimid lebishol, it's not oimid lachilo, so then there's no iser at all. That's another suggestion in Tosfos, yeah. So that's why there's an opinion in Rishonim that whenever you slice any fruits or vegetables that are edible the way they are, so you don't have to slice it in big chunks. You can slice it even in very tiny, thin pieces, and there's no violation of tchina. There's one opinion in the Rishonim, because that's called derech achila. Yeah. Where they get that idea, derech achila? Derech achila can't be called a malacha. The Gemara has an ayin dal and a manalef, that sometimes borer is mutter. We usually follow what Tosfos quotes from the Rabbeinu Hanano. The Tosfos for Hatanya. An ayin dal and a manalef, we're going to soon learn the Gemara. It's coming up soon. So the Gemara is, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, the Gemara says that it's only permissible to do borer on Shabbos. You need the three conditions. If you have all three conditions, then it's permissible. So why is that? If you have all three put together, why is it permissible? So here there's a major machlokes in Rishon. What's the Yisayid Ahed? The some Rishonim say because that's derech achila. That's what you eat. The Torah didn't prohibit achila. The Torah prohibits melachos. If you have all three conditions met, then it's derech achila. If you say like that, then it shouldn't only be a heter in borer. This heter of derech achila should apply to tochen as well. Should apply to other melachos as well. Should apply, let's say, to disha. We'll get to it in a minute. Should apply to disha as well. But whenever it's derech achila, it's not called derech melacha, and you have to have guidelines. When is it derech achila? When is it not? Other rishonim say that the Gemara never said that. There is no such Gemara. It doesn't exist. That whatever the Gemara doesn't say that that's the head, but derech achila. The Gemara has a lashon. If you have all the three conditions, then it's mutter. And if you don't have all the three conditions met, then the Gemara says nasik about 10 lines from the bottom of ayin dalet and aleph. Then it's not allowed, but the Gemara throws an expression, Nasik kibbara lo'oitzer v'chayav chatas. Why they throw in such an expression, Nasik kibbara lo'oitzer v'chayav chatas? So the Ramban has a comment on this Gemara, Chidush Ramban. He says that that's the Yisayda Heter, that this is a local Heter that only applies in Borer. It's not that whatever the Malacha is done there, Hafila, by definition, it's not called a Malacha. No. The definition of the Malacha Borer is Borer lo'oitzer. Quotation marks. That is the definition. Not in the Mishnah it says haborer. That's really a kitza. It really should say borer lo oitza. A person who does brer and he puts it away in the storage. And if he's not borer lo oitza, then it's mutter. See, if you have all the three conditions, then by definition it's not called borer lo oitza. It's borer la achila miyad. But the heter is not that whatever is derech achila by definition is not a malacha. If that would be the pshat, whatever is derech achila is not a malacha, then it'll spill over to the other malachas as well. So Ramban has a different suggestion that here this is the definition of the malacha borer lo oitza. So if you're missing any one of the three conditions, then it's not called, then it's not considered the. Then it will then nasa kibara loitza. Then it's also because I do consider it bara loitza. You have all the three conditions met, then it's not called bara loitza. That's the shaila. Is that really is there really such a heter as far as the other malachas are concerned? Whenever it's derech achila, it's going to be mutter. See, the shaila comes up. We had the Rashi's pshat. The Gemara was giving cases where Yechayv Shtayim. So the Gemara had on the top. They quoted Rav Kana, Rav Yosef, and Abai. Yechayv Shtayim that Yechayv Mishim Kotzin, Yechayv Mishim Zareya. Then later on the daf, one of the Amoraim came up with a chiddush. Yechayv Shtayim. I'm on the short piece of Ladikla. 10 lines from the bottom of Ein Gimel and Beis. I'm on the shorter piece of the Dikla. He throws a heavy thing at a tree, and the Tmorim fall down, Chayv Shtayim, Achaz Shimtolish, Vachatz Mishum Efari. And the Gemara says, we don't pass like that, that's his Kalachaya. So what exactly is the Mefari? So Rashi writes on the Gemara, Mefari Ka Tmorim Min Amachbodos. Removing the dates from the branches that they grow on is a violation of mefarik. So if you remove the dates from the branch while everything is still attached to the tree, so the first mandamah de Gemara, Papa thought that Yechayv Shtayim, you violated kotzer, and you also violated dosh. So the Gemara says that it's kalacha yatzi not chay. So let's say I have a branch from a date tree that was detached from the tree. Bechol, so there's no more issue of kotzer. And I have this branch on the table, and I want to pluck off from the branch. Or I have a cluster of grapes that was detached from the tree, and the bunch of grapes is on the table. So according to Rashi, you're not allowed to pull off a grape from the cluster. You're not allowed to pull off a date from the branch. Is that true? That in this case, you don't have the heter of kalacha. The Gemara says kalacha yad makes it into the rabbanon, so you're not chai. So you're going to say in this case, it's not even kalach hayad, so you're going to say that this is disha. We never heard of such a thing. You're not allowed to have grapes on the table and pull off a grape from the cluster on Shabbat. What? Why? So Tosfos disagreed with the whole Rashi. Tosfos said, Tosfos quoted the Rashbam, that the Mefarek ain't a near lyric, Moshe Mefarish Rashi, Mefarek Yilam, I saw a Peris Yolov, and the Moshe Peris Rashbam, that there's a klip el yayna, and you remove the klip el yayna. Okay. But they don't like what Rashi said. That's called mefar. Why don't they like what Rashi said? What's so big? Why isn't Rashi right? Why isn't it Disha? You're detaching the Eichel from the Psalms. I'm not sure. Tesis doesn't explain why they're not happy. Well, maybe they're not happy that it should be Chayiv Shtayim. You only did one thing. It's not really true. You only did one thing. You really did two things. We had some Achroinim, the Menchas Tinah, from the Shvisa Shabbos, and others want to say, some Shayim seem to say like that. The only time you Chayiv Shtayim is if you had two different accomplishments. If you only have one accomplishment, then you are the Chayiv Achas. Yeah, over here there are two accomplishments. One is that it used to be attached to the ground, now it's no longer attached. And then the dates used to be attached to the branch, now they're no longer attached to the branch. That should be an Iser of Disha, even if it's Tolosh. So they really are two different accomplishments. One is no longer attached to the ground, one is no longer attached to the Psalmist. So why does Tesis disagree with Rashi? I'm not sure. Anyway, but this is what they ask. According to Rashi, it should come out that you're not allowed to pluck off the grapes from the cluster of grapes that's on the table. It's Mais Mechal Yom. People do it all the time. So the Egletal and others have different suggestions. And the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasi, he develops the whole thing. He likes this. He says that the Minhag HaOlam is that dates are removed from the branch before it reaches the dining room table. You don't bring it with the branch on it. That's what he writes, where he came from. You don't bring it on the branch to the dining room table. So that's why Rashi thinks that that's a violation of Disha. That's like Disha when you separate the straw from the kernels of grain. That's normally done way before you bring the food into the dining room to eat. That's done on the farm. First you do Disha, then you do Trina, and then you do Lisha, and then you do Afia. And then you bring it in, you bring in the final product, you bring the cake or the cookies or the challah or the bread, you bring it in to eat. You don't do the disha, you don't separate the kernels of grain from the stalks of straw in the dining room as you're about to eat. But whatever is normally done as you're about to eat, so that's derech achila, so that there's no prohibition. So this is what the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa likes, this definition. So he thinks that maybe that's the difference between the grapes. Since the minhag olam is that people serve it, so then it's going to depend what the minhag hamakom is. If the minhag hamakom is that you serve grapes on the cluster and you pull them off on the dining room table, so that's by definition not called disha. That's derech achila, it's not called disha. You could either say that it's derech achila. You could say you don't even need derech achila. Whatever hachon is done in the dining room when you're about to eat it, so by definition that's not called disha. You don't have to say it's derech achila. As opposed to removing the dates from the branch, so where they came from, so they write, and the minhag hamakom, this can change depending on which society you live in. So if they live in a country where the minhag hamakom is that this is normally done way before it comes to the dining room table, so that would be a violation of disha. Degletal has another suggestion that it could be if you should assume that the heter over here on Borech or Meter Chamsos, it said the Rishonim have two pshatim, whether Derech Achila is a heter in all the malachas, or no, it's only a heter in Borech, because the definition of Borech, part of the definition of Borech is Borech Leoitza. If you have all the three conditions, so it's not Borech Leoitza. If you're missing any one of them, Nasik is Borech Leoitza. So if one should assume the first mahalach, that it's a heter in all the malachas, and that's why some Rishonim hold that it's even mutter by tochen. Whenever you do tchina and the food is royal achila the way it is, it's derech achila, it's mutter. So if one should assume like that, that it's etim in all malachas, so one can say that en achinami, that removing the grapes, let's say I have a cluster of grapes on the table, and I'll pull off all the grapes from the cluster and I'll separate them. So it could be, and I'm not going to eat them right now, so it could be that that will be a violation of disha. It's not because it's normally done in the dining room as you're about to eat it, so therefore by definition it's not called disha. It could be that that's not the var. It could be that it's mutta because normally the minhag olam is you take one and you pop it in your mouth, or you take two if you have a big mouth, so you take two or three, you pop them in your mouth. But if you're going to do a whole cluster 20, nobody eats 20 at a time. You're going to remove all the grapes from the cluster and then leave them on the table. Could be that that would be a violation of disha. So it could be that that it's not that there's a difference. eating grapes as opposed to dates, could be that grapes also is a violation of Disha to detach the chibur between the Yochel and the Psoilus. But the heter that we are knowing is because you do one at a time. That's what the Gleital talks about, removing the shells from the nuts. Let's say you're eating peanuts. So there's a shaila, why isn't that Disha? You're removing the, you have Yochel and Psoilus that grew together, and then you remove the shell on the outside. So let that be an Iser of Disha. So he gives different suggestions. So one of the suggestions is exactly this, that then it depends what you do. If you crack open a shell and you take the peanuts and you pop them in your mouth, then you crack another shell and you pop it in your mouth each once, you do one at a time, so that's derech achila. So derech achila is no malocha. But let's say you're going to crack open 100 peanuts and have a table full of, have a bowl full of peanuts. And then you separated the oichel from the psoilus. It could be that even though that's normally done on the dining room table, that's acceptable to separate nuts from the shell on the dining room table. It could be it'll still be a violation of Disha. And the only reason why it's not is because you eat it derech achila, one at a time, one at a time. So that's by definition not called Disha. Disha is only if you do a lot. If you do a lot, then one shot. But if you do one at a time, then you eat it. One at a time, you eat it. Or two at a time, and you eat them right away. So it could be that that's the heter of derech achila. Derech achila is the heter in all the malachas. So that's the shaila. So you're right. You're right. The Chazanish came up with a chiddush that you're not allowed to mesh the banana. Usually when you have little babies, you mesh a banana. So the Chazanish thinks that that's a problem of tochein, and he thinks that it's not a problem of lisho because you're not introducing any foreign moisture. He's just meshing the thing itself, so that's by definition he thinks that there's no lisha. But he thinks that it does pose a problem of tochein, and he thinks therefore you have to do it al yidei shinun. So he tells you how to do a shinun. Instead of using the prongs of the fork, you should use the back of the fork, which makes it pretty uncomfortable. And that's a shinui. Why is it muta al yidei shinun? So the Gemara said if you have the pre-cooked food, so it's muta al yidei shinun. The Mishnah Berurah said on the pre-cooked food is muta al yidei shinun because it's a triple derabbanan. So since it's a triple derabbanan, so then it's a tzorach, so he makel. Here the Chazanish is just makel on one. It's only ayde shinu. So he's makel, he doesn't think you need a triple derabbanan. There's not maskim at that Mishkan Brewer, who said it's only mutter because you have a combination of three derabbanans. So that's, we have a big problem. We don't know exactly how to define why, what's the issue whether milking a cow should be a violation of tochen or not. Why in the world should it be tochen? What exactly is the issue here? So the Chazanish says the reason why meshing the banana is tochein is because it's no longer mechuber for purposes of tumah v'tara. Yeah, but it's one big mush. Why does it have to be dependent on tumah v'tara? He says, you would have touched, the Adam Tami would have touched one tip of the banana before you meshed it. You would have declared magam mitzosek and magam v'kula. Now that you meshed it, and it's only held together with made peiris, it's not one of the Zayin Mashkim, so that doesn't count as a chibur. So it's separated. So therefore, the halacha considers it separated. Yeah. But it's one big mush. So why should that be called tochen?
It would mean you can make a challah with made peiros.
You make what?
A challah with made peiros.
Right. Half of the Rishonim hold that big machlokes in Tanoim and Rishonim had a paskin. If you make cakes, let's say you only use made peiros, you didn't use any water, so then if an Adam tummy touches one end, so the whole thing would not be tummy. That's a machlokes at Tanoim and Mishnah is challah. Whether it's chayv and challah or not, if you make a cake that only had made peiros, didn't have any water in it, is it chayv and challah? So the Yerushalmi says, what's the machloikis? The Yerushalmi explains that the machloikis is that in order to be chayv and challah, you have to have a certain minimum amount of flour, and the flour has to be mechuber yachad. So the Tanoim argue, what serves as a mechaber? Do only the Zayin mashkim serve as a mechaber, or do all mashkim serve, even made peiros? The Rishami quotes, that's a machlokes hatanoim by Kabbalah's Tumah. Whether you say magabim utsasik and magabikulo. If you bake the cake and you didn't use any water, an Adam tummy touches one end, would the other end become tummy or not? And that, depending on that machlokes hatanoim, that's Mishnayis, depending on that machlokes hatanoim, will be this machlokes hatanoim. So I'll tell you whether there would be a chiyuv challah or not. There's only chiyuv challah if the minimum amount is mitzaref yachad. Okay, so we do have a problem. Just to review again, Nahama, we were discussing, we left off before Yom Tov, the bottom Tosfos on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, where the theme of the Tosfos was, what exactly is the Malach involved in milking a cow. The Gemara says Sarkem and Alta, that there's some kind of halacha. It's nefarik, so it's not clear what. So there were so many different shitas, and the only shita that really makes sense in the Gemara, on Kuf Mem Dalan Amid Beis, the Gemara makes a distinction between milking a cow into an empty bucket on the bottom, or into a bucket that has some moichlam in. That only solves the issue of disha. Uchla difference. Tyson said there, the little Tyson, uchla difference. If you're mafid eichel meyeichel, so there's no iser of disha. How does it solve the problem of gozeza tochein or memachek? We don't understand how the other Rishonim are going to learn Pshat. And then we just raise the issue, the tochein is a problem. How in the world is a tochein? Why in the world should it be tochein? We're not sure exactly what tochen means. Why is there an issue of tochen on mashing potatoes that are in the cholent, the tochen on mashing bananas? Because the Chazanish thinks that his understanding of the, he doesn't have any rights. He says his understanding of the definition of the malacha, after he learned all mesichta, he came up with this idea. He thinks that that's tochen. The Pharisee also thinks that it's tochen by the cholent potatoes. Okay. So chidush. Okay, we left off by Ma'amer. Ma'amer, Omar, Rove. Our Girsa is Rove. Here there's a problem. If the Girsa is Rove, so we usually have a cloud. Whenever there's a Machlekes, Abai v'Rove, we always pass from like Rove, except for the six cases of Yalkigam. So this is not one of the Yalkigam. So what led the Rambam to pass from like Abai? That's what the case of Mishnah quotes Akasha. Why did the Rambam? The Rishonim ask on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam paskan like Abaye? This is not from the Yalkigam. So because Mishnah points out, obviously perhaps the Rambam's girsa was Rabbo instead of Rovo. Girsa Rambam was Rabbo. That's what it says on the side. Girsa Rambam seems to have been that it's Rabbo. So when Abaye disagrees with Rabbo, so we say Hilchasa ki Basroi. What does Rava mean when he says that it's us? I'm on the corner, one who gathers together milcha, the salt, mean milcha, so milcha, so is the place where the water evaporated. So there is a Tosfos in Beitzah. So the Gemara in different places, Mishnayos and Gemara in different places talk about a person has fruits or vegetables and he brings it to the house and then it fell on the floor, it fell out of the basket. And he goes and he gathers together all the fruits and the vegetables and he puts it back in the bag. Or he puts it back in the bowl. So Tosfos says the kasha and beit, so let it be a violation of ma'amer. You're gathering together all the fruits and vegetables. So Tosfos says it's mucha from this gemara that even Rava only says that it's mi milchaso, means mi mokam giduloi. Let's say the apples fell down from the tree, so I'm going to gather the apples. Or I harvested the grain from the ground, so then I'm going to make bundles. The grain is still bebakam gidula, the same place where it grew on the ground. It's still on the farm. So bebakam gidula, that's an isra mama. But the fruits and the vegetables grow on the farm. It doesn't grow in the middle of Manhattan. And I bought it in the store and I bring it home and then it falls on the carpet, on the rug. And then I gather it together and say, that's what Tosfos says. There's no issue of ma'amir because it's not bebakam gidula. That's what Tosfos proves. And the Rishonim, the later Rishonim quoted from the Bali Tosfos. The Shmir Shabskal Chasa quotes a discussion in Achrayim about that in the footnotes. They're not sure what it means. Whenever it's on the farm, let's say it grew really over there, and then somehow the wind blew, all of the wind was blowing, and it blew all the apples in this direction. So as long as it's still on the farm, that's called Mimokim Gedula, or no, it's only Mokim Gedula when it bounced down from the tree, or I harvested it from the ground, and it didn't move yet. But if the wind blew it to another location, even though it's still on the floor, maybe that's not called Makim Gidula. It quotes a Diyun in Achrayim about that. They're not sure what the definition is. But this, the whole Makim Gidula doesn't really say anything more. That's Tesis Haychocha, Tesis in Beitzah, Daflam and Aleph. God, if in this word, Mi Milchasa, Rabbi says, Konek Milcha Mi Milchasa, from the place where the sun beats down on the water and evaporates the water, and that's where the salt becomes separated. So that's considered mimokin gidula. Then it's a violation of ma'amer. Abai disagrees a different reason. It's not gidula karka, but in this regarding this principle, Abai would agree with Rava that it's only mokin gidula. The Rambam never writes that condition. So this leads the Minchas Chinuch to assume that maybe the Rambam doesn't agree with this Tosfos. It's only Chiddush of Tosfos. Then the Rambam writes explicitly, not like Tosfos. The Rambam writes, it's a person went to the fruit store and he bought a few pounds of dates. And the dates are very sticky, they're very sweet. He pushes all the dates together, did they all hold together? So the Rambam says that's a violation of Ma'amir, Deraisa. Even though it didn't grow in the middle of Manhattan, it grew somewhere else. Or the Rambam says if you have figs and you take a string with a needle, whatever, and you make a hole and you tie all the figs together till they're holding tight. That's how they sell them in the store, a whole circle. Igulei dveilo. Igulei dveilo, ta'inim like that. So if you are mechaber yachad, different peiros, even though it's not been mokum gedula at all, that's a violation of ma'amer. So the later achrayim assume, yeah, the two forms of, they don't know where the Rambam got that from. They don't know what the mokum. Minchas Chinuch said there probably is some earlier mokum. He doesn't know, he's not familiar. We're always discovering new makaris for Rambam. See, at the time that he wrote his sefer, he doesn't know any mokum. So many assume that there are two forms to ma'amer. One is where you gather together the teres mimokim geduli, put all the apples in a bushel, even though the apples don't get stuck together. Another one is if you stick them together. And that is the Minchas Chinuch is pushing to say that the Rambam doesn't hold at all from the whole din of mimokim geduli. He only holds from this kind. Ma'amer is if you stick it together. The Shvisa Shabbos, once you say it comes up, halacha l'maaseh sometimes. Let's say you have a very mushy cake, and you slice the cake and there are crumbs falling all over the place. Then you take all the crumbs and you squeeze them all together and make a big ball out of it. So he says it could be that that's ma'amir. Could be that according to the Rambam, that would be ma'amir. It's a difference between the cake and the two cases that the Rambam had, because the Rambam's cases were on raw fruits. You take igulei dveilo, you take dates or figs and you squeeze them together, you make a big mush out of it. You make a circle out of the figs. So those figs are dates, were not cooked, but the cake was baked already. So it could be like the Mishnah Brura said, and like the Chazon Ish said, that since Ma'amer is on it, leading on its way to Ofer, it's part of Sidur the Pas, could be that there's no Ma'amer at the Oraisa if it's already cooked or baked. Could be it's only the Rabban, could be it's Mutar Lagamer, I don't know.
Maybe
it's only on a bria
that it is the way it is, and then once it's nishtana, once your hand moisture, that's going to cause it to stick together, because that could happen anything, you gather anything and the hands are sweaty, and that's going to cause it to stick together. You want to make a suggestion, once it's nishtana, so we don't call it gedulei karka anymore.
Could be. Once it's nishtan, it could be loses its status of gedulei karka. You have such a din midirabbanan by schach. The Gemara says in Sukkah, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that in order to be kosher for schach, the material has to be gedulei karka, tolush, and dov sheinu mekabel tumah. So what if you have, let's say, gedulei karka, some material that grew out of bush, and I made strings out of it. The regular string that they sell in the stores grows on a bush. It's hemp. It's gedulei karka. So the Rambam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam interprets a Gemara not like Rashi and Tosfos. At the end of the first parak in Sukkah, there is a Gemara that talks about using string. The Rashi and Tosfos say that the problem with the string is that it's mekabel tumah. A whole different shot, mekabel tumah. And the Pnei Yeshua has a whole taina. He doesn't like the whole Rashi and Tosfos. What do you mean? It's not mekabel tumah. Mekabel tumah means that if an Adam tummy touches it, the tumah will be transmitted. But here Rashi and Tosfos say this string, if it's tzemer apishtim string, can develop saras begodim on it. So that's like a tumah yotzolam migufa. That's not called mekabel tumah. If an Adam tummy touches it, he won't transmit tumah to the spool of thread. Spool of thread can develop tumas saras. So the Pnei Yeshua tainas, why is that called Dava HaMakabal Tumah? He says there is a din that goel of a doifek also has tuma. Whatever you use a matseva also has tumas meis, and it's not that it's makabel tuma from the meis. Whenever the tuma is transmitted, the Gemara says on the first daf in Baba Kama, the tuma always goes down a madrega. But over here we learn out from Sukkim, the din daraisa, that the goel of a doifek, the matseva, which is on top of the kever, on top of the grave, has the same level of tuma as the mace itself. The mace is avi avoyis atuma. So the goel of a doifek is also avi avoyis atuma. So how did the avi avoyis make an avi avoyis atuma? So the Pnei Yeshua says the answer is it's not transmitting the tuma. The mace doesn't transmit the tuma to the goel of a doifek. There's halacha. Goel of a doifek is tuma. It's not that it's mekabel tuma for the mace. It is tuma. So he says, and anything, the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Erevin, Daf Tezvav, anything can serve as a goel of a doifek. Anything in the world can have a tumas goel of a doifek. You're going to say, schach, let's say you have schach, great mama schach. You can use schach as a goel of a doifek, it'll become tummy. So you're going to say, all schach in the world is roy to be mekabel tumah, because you can use it as a goel of a doifek. So Pnei Yeshua says, that's a joke. What's the answer? The answer is, goel of a doifek is not mekabel tumah from the mace. Goel of a doifek is tummy. If it's serving in the role of a goel of a doifek, it's tummy. So Tainus, the same is true regarding the spool of thread. It's not that it's mekabel tumah, mi bachutz. If an Adam Tommy touches a spool of thread, he's not a Tommy yet. If a Negat Saras will appear on the spool of thread, that's either Tzemer or Pishtim, so then there's a Pasuk in Chumash that even a spool of thread also will have a Tumas Saras begun. So he tightens against Rashi and Taisus, Peshu and Sukkah at the end of the first book. He's not happy with the Pshat. So the Rambam has a different shot than that Gemara. The Gemara talks about string, that it's not good for string, that's despite the fact that it's Gidule Karka, you're not allowed to use it for a Schach. So Rashi tells us not because it's davam a kabel tumah, because it's been kabel tumah tzeras the godim, and the Rambam learns no, it's no good only midirabbanan. That's the opinion that we accept in Shulchan Aruch. It's no good midirabbanan because it's nishtana, because it doesn't look like gedule karka. When it grew from the ground, when the hemp grew on the bush, it looked like a gedule karka. And once you make it into string, so if you'd ask someone who doesn't know what the string comes from, they would never guess. That it grew from the ground. They would think of some synthetic material or something. They wouldn't know where in the world it came from. So the Rambam understands that at Gemara, that's a din midirabbanan. That's for some later Achrayim even say, let's say you have stock and you painted it red, you painted it green. It's naturally yellow or brown, you painted it green. That it should be colorful. So some Achrayim want to say, paint it? So paint is called shinui. Shinui is kind of by a ganav. If a ganav steals a table, or a chair and he paints it, so there's a discussion in the Gemara Bava Kama, maybe the Ganav is kind of a Shinui, so maybe all the rules and regulations of Shinui Kaina should apply over here. This is called Nishtana. If you have Gidule Karka Shinishtanu, that should be no good. Some people like to paint their Ischach with shellac. They don't paint with colored paint, they paint with shellac that it should be protected from the rain, that the wood shouldn't spoil when it rains on it. So that's proper, but it's colorless. That's probably not called the shinu. The shinu would be if he painted a different color than the Shavit Shuva next to the Behet that quotes this whole part of this discussion. Maybe this too is included in the Rambam's Chumra, that whenever you have a Gedule Karka that's Nishtana, so midirabbanan it's possible. But it could well be that over here it could be that it's a Din Daraisa, that once it's Nishtana, he suggested as well. It could be that once it's Nishtana already, so it doesn't have the status of Gedule Karka. It's only if it's an original state. That could be. I mean, against the Shvi Shabbos. Shvi Shabbos wants to say a chumra. If you put together the crumbs of cake and you make them stick in one big ball, that according to the Rambam, that could be a violation. Amma Amir, so there's room to distinguish. That's already nishtana. So it's not included in Ma'amir. Then the Mishnah mentions Disha, Dosh is a Malacha. So the Mark keeps on quoting the Brises. The Brises list off. We had the Brises before. Chorish, Chotfa, Choritz, Kula Malacha, Chasim. So it's a repeat. Dosh, Hamnapit, Hamnapit. And every kind of fruit or vegetable is a different way to do the Disha. So however you did it, the normal way you did it, it's all included in Malacha's Disha. Now, if Kamina the Gemara said before that you only chayv one chatas, if you did everything behel mechod, you only chayv chatas achas. Then the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. The three malachas in the Mishnah seem to be repeat: hazara, habara, Hamerakeid. Fegnamar Kasha, these are all the same thing. Hainuzar, Hanabur, Hanamarake. Aren't they all the same thing? You're separating the Oichel from the Psolus. So the Gemara says, you're right. Abai Barab, Adam Chabai, Kamil, Sadavi, Mishnah, Avgab, Dika, the Domila, Choshev, Lo. The Halacha says we count it as three, even though they're all for the same purpose. So this is a famous discussion. The Ramon, Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that if a person spits when the wind is blowing and the wind causes the saliva to scatter all over the place, so that too is a violation of Zora. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. That's a violation of Zora. So they say everything is psolus. There's no welcome, there's no psolus. It's not separating two different things. So according to the Bavli, that doesn't seem to be a violation of Zora. The Gemara says Zora means separating oichel from psolus, from each other, that are betarugas. And there are three forms of borer. There's zora, there's borer, there's merake. And we count all three, even though it's really a repeat, because that's the way it was in the Mishkan. According to the Yerushalmi, the whole definition of zora is totally different. It means to separate, to cause something to scatter with the assistance of the wind. It's in Gansan a different word. So the Eglet Tal assumes that is correct. The Yerushalmi Taka disagrees with the Bavli regarding the definition of zora. The Mishnah Brura quotes in the Bir Alocha, I think, Mishnah Brura quotes one of the Achrayim, not one of the standard Tosis Yerushalayim or something like that. Some irregular, not one of the standard Mefarshim that he quotes all the time. He quotes someone who gives a different interpretation in the Yerushalmi. So the whole Yerushalmi never said anything. Yerushalmi meant to say a different word, that if the person spits in the street and the wind is blowing, and the wind carries the saliva dalaramis to a different location, so that's mabed dalaramis b'shusarat. That's a gemara later. That's a violation of mabed dalaramis b'shusarat. So that's a question. Maybe you're only in violation mabed dalaramis if I pick something up, I do it, I kira, I do it, I know, and I did everything myself. But if I use, I harness this koyach acher, I harness the wind to serve my purposes, I want to cause the saliva to move from here, 5 amas away. So how do you know that if you do a malacha with the koyach acham yurba, that that's also considered a malacha? So to that, the Yerushalmi brought the araya from Zorah v'ruach misayaito. Zorah v'ruach misayaito is a malacha of Zorah, because you're separating oichel from solas, but the wind is helping you. So you see, the koyach acham yurba makes it into a malacha deraisa. So what did Nami? By Mabed al-Aramis b'shusarabim, if you do Mabed al-Aramis with the assistance of the wind, that'll also be a violation of not Zohar, it'll be a violation of Mabed al-Aramis. So this, the Mishnah Brura quotes one of the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi never meant to say that it's a Malach of Zohar. They just were quoting Zohar as a Hechoche, that Ruach Misayaito plays a role in Hilchah Shabbos. But the Bavli perhaps is the same as the Yerushalmi. Eglet Tal says, no, it's a fundamental Achleg of Bavli and Yerushalmi. And he gives a hechocha that Yerushalmi also is the kasha, similar to the Bavli, that there are three that the Bavli has that there are three malachas that are repeat, and Yerushalmi has a similar kasha, doesn't put in Zora. So he says that's the reason why, because Yerushalmi Lushitasa holds that Zora is a different definition.
But doesn't the Rama bring down this Yerushalmi?
Yeah, the Rama quotes it lalach. Yeah.
So in the case, let's say using aerosol spray, any of these sprays.
I don't know. It's only if the wind is blowing something. Over here, the aerosol means by itself. I don't think you're using the wind, even if there's no wind.
It has to be adopted with the wind.
I think that's what it means. Zorah v'ruach misayaito. So we, the Bavli, learns separating Erechel from Solus with the assistance of the wind. The Shalmi says scattering anything with the assistance of the wind. But if you're not using the wind, I don't think that would be Zorah. I don't think so. The Gemara in Beitza talks about spraying some fragrant smelling substance in the air. That's okay on Shabbos and Yom Tov. To put it on a beged, or to put it into Oichlim, Moilid Reach in Begodim, Moilid Reach in Oichlim is a problem. But Moilid Reach in the Yavir, that's okay. So how they do it in Gemara? It's not also the same, something like that. I think there's no wind blowing, I think there's no problem.
What about if instead of the saliva would be water? You know, pouring water and the wind will come instead. Is it the same thing?
I think so. Same thing. If the wind scatters it. According to the Ramah's understanding, and the Pashtus is many Rishonim understand. The Rambam's quoting it from the Rishonim. The Rishonim understood the Yerushalmi like that, that it's a violation of Zohar, not a violation of Mabed al Rabbis. Yeah.
Well, as I was going to ask, in what context is he quoting?
Apparently it's not clear, so that's why the Mishnah Brura feels that there's room for the alternate interpretation. Two interpretations in the Yerushalmi. Yeah, but bottom line, okay, so what does the Mura come to the Maskana? We list them as three different malachas. Zera and Berer and Merake are three different malachas, even though they accomplish the same thing. So how do you know in any given case whether you're in violation of A, B, or C? So this is a major question. So Rashi on the Mishnah gives you one suggestion. And then Rashi at the end of the sugya, right before the next Mishnah, an ayin hey, omad base, right before the Mishnah, Rashi gives you, seems to give you a different definition. So that's what the Minhas Chinuch points out. That Rashi and Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph on the Mishnah and Ayin Hey Amid Beis right before the second Mishnah seem to give two different definitions. One is it Zorah, one is it Borah, one is it Merakit. Okay, maybe we'll leave that at tomorrow. We'll start from there. What time is Mincha today? 1:30. They're really locking up the building today at 1? Is that they threat? They're supposed to lock up the building. I didn't see the signs. Okay, we'll stop here. We have to get locked in.